close the meeting of the Highland Regional Planning Council order. We have a roll call.
Kurt Olsen.
Here.
Tracy Kerlucio.
Here.
Bill Cogger.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Hossebeck.
Here.
Dennis Kovak.
Yes.
Dee Lutz.
Here.
Paul Richardson.
Here.
Glenn Vitrano. James Fazioli. Jack Schreier.
Yes. Would you join us in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have before us the minutes of September 23rd for approval.
So we're on second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any not in favor? My report is very brief. I was very pleased with the last meeting. Very pleased with the issue that we addressed. The plan for Thomas and Myron was just wonderful. Great suggestions, I thought. And I'm even more pleased today because we have was petition by Chester Township. First, this property is Morris County. Morris County has 39 municipalities. 32 of them are in the Highlands. Chester Township, under the leadership of its mayor, is leading the way to plan conformance. It's the mayor here. So that's very exciting, and I hope that we are. We have kind of all rolling in that the mayor is involved. Apart from that, I have not much to report, but let me just carry on. Executive Director, any council members have any?
As we did last month on Marla, the heat was extremely brief. I'm sure very pleased to hear that. Just give you a very brief update on where we are with plan conformance. Because things have changed since we last met. We have received 64 petitions for plan conformance, 59 are from municipalities and 5 from counties. And the increase is due to the fact that we have received new petitions in support of the resolution from Phillipsburg and Alpha. Having seen the work that was done at Byron on the center designation, both Phillipsburg and Alpha have now asked to be included in this process, and I'm sure they'll be looking at similar type work. We do know that they want to look at center space development and centers for those two communities. So that really is good news. 47 of the positions, including 2 of the counties, have been deemed administratively complete. They've gone through their petitions, their agencies, and they've been posted to the website. Staff reviewed 36 petitions fully and have prepared the draft assistance review and recommendations. And there is an awful lot of work involved in getting to that point, in reading all the documents, all the modules submitted by the town, and working with them to the point that we can issue those draft assistance review recommendations for. 12 of those being completed and sent out, the others are still in internal review because we do approach the team and many of us review each of the particular reviews and recommendations. You can see the towns there that have received their draft reviews at this point in time, so they're in the municipal response period. Tewkesbury, Clinton Town, Mount Hall Township, Morlock, Bethlehem Township, St. Gardner Borough, Rockland Township, Chester Township, which is what we're doing today, Califon Borough, Lebanon Borough, Fayette County, and Franklin Township. In addition, Byron Township has been approved as well known by the council. Chester Township is appointed today. And Hampton Borough's petition is in the public comments period. Hampton the borough chose not to avail themselves of the cost of the municipal default period. They waived that. They had to do so once their project was for 13. So that will be moving for your consideration. It's scheduled for your next meeting. So the public comment period is open. All the information is on the website. This is just the current map. We always update our maps with the new information, so Philip Garden Alpha are there. And the blue, which is in addition to our maps now, denotes those municipalities that have received planned conformance approval. And that will constantly be updated on our website as well. So you can look there for the first time and see blue on our map and show that progress. We, at this point, progress is slow as we go through the petitions. And that's for a number of reasons. One is that, the amount of time it's taking the staff to get this rolling, but as you can see, it's building, so that we've got many towns ready to move forward. And the other issue, of course, is that there's a learning curve for the council as well, as we go through these approvals and for the public involvement. And we do anticipate that next year we can bring more municipalities to you. One of the issues, of course, is making sure that we have sufficient staff to keep up the level of review and work, and we do want to make sure that we get, remain very diligent in our review. The other last thing I want to just address to you is that I know that you're very concerned that we maintain review of the grant and keep you apprised of how the grant program is going. As you know, we had a transit performance grant program to take communities at the time it was anticipated to the petitioning of the council. And we have taken 7 modules they have to do. Obviously, because of the unique nature of each of the municipalities, the cost can differ. But this shows you the base amount that was the advisory amount to each municipality for each module. And they give us information if they need to go over those amounts and gain that approval. And then you can see the average then for each municipality and the number of municipalities that submitted their invoices, so that's where we draw the information from. And the total shows you that 50,000 allocated with an up to amount of 100,000. The average has been 49,800. There's been some modules that are a little more, some modules that are a little less. But on average, we're doing very well in keeping it to the recommended amount. There are municipalities, however, you've seen already that have gone over the amount for various reasons. And I think we may have been joined by Member Jim Vigneli. James, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm on.
Thank you. We're just finishing the Executive Director's report. We'll be getting into the matter of Chester Township and McCarran.
Okay, I heard you. I am... I may lose signal. I'm in heading towards New Orleans in the back of a bus. So if I lose you, I'm sorry, and I'll try to get back on. But I did read all of the documentation and so on that you sent, Eileen, and it's very well presented. So I'm ready to go with this one.
Thank you very much, Jim. Yes, everything we're going over today is really for the public process. But yes, you have all the materials that we're going over, and I thank you for that.
Okay.
That brings us to the public hearing for Chester Township.
Okay.
I'm going to excuse myself on this matter.
Thank you. Tom is going to just go over the ethics and the advice that we've got from that team from
Chester. As a summary, we saw the advice of the state ethics commission from time back. And the advice they provided to us was that elected officials must recuse themselves from planning performance petitions that are submitted to the council. However, those council members that live in the relevant time sectors before you need not recuse themselves because there's no particular interest they have. The matter would differ if there were a particular application regarding that particular property that came before you.
The issue is whether or not the council member has a vote.
Correct. So in this case, the mayor of Chester has the right to vote to petition the council, but it doesn't have the right to vote to approve their own application.
And just for the record, if you resign in Chester Township, we'll be voting.
Correct.
Correct.
mayor then his refusal to leave the room?
No.
So if you're satisfied, Mr. Chair, we'll move forward. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to give you an introduction to Chester Township, look at the unique characteristics of this particular municipality, and then discuss their petition for planning performance and the recommendation of the staff to the council for acting on this particular resolution. You see before you some pictures of one taken in half, and I do want to thank Joe Chase for submitting some photographs for our use in the slide that we're seeing today. She very kindly sent us some of her photographs. The others have been taken by members of our staff, and you've seen Nathan today. So Nathan in the room, he's our resident photographer, and so he's been taking photographs of this event, which will be on our website. And also many of the photos you see here, and even the international flags, are from Nathan. I also want to, once again, as I did a month ago, thank the staff. Again, it's always a team effort here to bring the petition to your attention. But in particular, I'd like to recognize James Humphreys. James is the planner who was the liaison to Chester Township. He comes to the council with considerable experience, and he's the planner in America when we throw him away. So he's considerable experience in municipal planning, in economic development planning, in affordable housing planning, and all the other areas pertinent to municipal planning. So he has been the one who dealt with the professional Chester Township. A little bit about it. Here you can see Chester Township. You can see the preservation area, the green planning area over here. The borough is at the center of the township. You can see it's placed here in the region. And we've stolen from the Chester Township Municipal website a little bit of the history of Chester Township. In the years leading to the revolution and on into the early 1800s, Chester Township was an important stagecoach stop on the trip from New York, New Brunswick, and Morristown to Phillipsburg. The township was established in 1799. And according to the 2009 statistics of a population of 7,771, a land area of 29.2 square miles. And then you can see a little bit more information there. The agricultural land comprised about 11% of the municipality. Preserved lands, and certainly Chester Township is to be recognized for its work in this area. They have been diligently looking after their natural resources. They have 39% of the municipality have been preserved. Wetlands, lakes, and ponds make up 11% of Chester Township. They have significant parks, which goes towards about 39% preserved area, Hackavarney State Park, Black River Wildlife Management Area, Black River Greenway, Black River Park, Bamboo Brook, Calder Education Center, Hyderabad Park, Chubb Park. And they are some of these five centers on the Highland Scenic Resource Inventory. And you see here two photographs. The mayor wanted me to be sure to point out the invasive species. Okay, we thought I'd try to forget that. There's a murmur in the room. Purple loose stripe, which the municipality has been working to eradicate and has an ongoing project in that area. So pretty though it looks. Draws attention again to the attention paid by the municipality that when the totem was submitted to us, that the mayor did want me to support that much. Significant highland specifics about Chester Township. The preservation area land you saw on the map there comprises 84% of the municipality, 16% fall into the planning area land. Highland open water protection includes buffers, 42% of the land. Severe steep slope area, 24%. You see it there in square miles and acres as well. Forest areas, 52% of the municipality. Agricultural priority areas, 31%. And conservation priority areas, 21%. Those priority areas are the dictates of the Highland Act for the council to include in regional master plan priority areas for acquisition. and those anthems be shared with municipalities, counties, and state governments, and in fact, there's a subset of those that provide the confidential that we were required to share with SABC and Green Acres. You will see this map coming along. A look at land use. It's divided up there really into the developed land and then the natural land. And you'll see that the developed land provides about 37% of municipality and natural land, including the open space, 63%. Now we're going to show you a quick slide through of Chester Township, and I did speak with the mayor before the meeting. Unfortunately, we discovered only yesterday a typo in this, and the mayor did tell me that he is not entertaining the notion of a wildwood in Chester Township, but Willowwood has been misspelled. We did touch this yesterday, and it was revised this morning. But unfortunately, the amount of GIS data we have is such that the files are huge, and these movies use that information. And the computer crashed this morning, and we are actually going to purchase a separate server for our GIS, because we have this problem on a sort of constant basis with staff with computers going down because of the level of data that we were, as you know, required to assess and analyze and then compile that data while the pilot back. And so it's critical and it's very useful to municipalities, this information, as you heard actually from the wire mayor. But of course it doesn't happen. So please, when you see wildwood, please read willow. So a look at Chester Township, and we'll slide through it. What I think is very interesting, if you look at this, the shading over this part of the movie denotes that we're in the planning area. You can see the subdivisions in the planning area. Now we're entering into the preservation area land. But what's really remarkable is for those that aren't familiar with the Highlands, and they think that the Highlands is all, you know, a very similar landscape, unlike the Highlands is not. And this movie shows you a very different landscape to that which you saw when you looked at Ireland. That mountainous, forested area filled with the potential lake compared to Chester Township, which is rich in forests, rich in natural resources preserved area, but also a lot more agricultural than you saw in the fire case. So you find that these, there we see Willowwood Arboretum, where New Jersey Conservation Foundation has its headquarters, partly in Willowwood. So we've been sharing, in fact, recently we went up to Bergen County and we had done a movie for them for their Ramapo Mountain State Park facility. And it's a very good view of, from an aerial view of a different perspective of the landscape we seek to protect. You can see as well in the preservation area, the great forested tract. The subdivisions are generally speaking larger than those you saw that were characteristic of the planning area. That the white shaded area is the borough. Natural River Wildlife Management Area, a great deal of preservation has occurred in the area of Black River, thanks to the municipality, the county, the state, and indeed non-profits such as our New Jersey Conservation Foundation. That's the trail there on the left and an easy. And again, back in, again, you can see there the planning area and the subdivision. So predominantly, it's a little more of a developed area there. We're finishing up over Highland Bridge Park and some parts where you're sitting now, the Highland Office. That's the view of Chester Township and the country that you are considering their petitions today. look back at the township planning initiative, and it's only an example of some of the work that Chester Township has done in the past. They have maintained their up-to-date comprehensive master plan, including all the mandatory elements as well as numerous of the optional elements. They have a history of proactive engagement in community planning and conservation issues, and I think you've seen that by the very nature of the preserved land in the community. Their right to farm ordinance was the first in Morris County back in 1996, and I think you've seen them as you'll see this coming up again, the right to farm ordinance in there. Plan implementation plan and schedule, but that's because we do a more detailed review of everything at that time and measure its consistency with the legal master plan. And in many cases, towns like a test of some of their work may be used as models for our other performance, in particular when we look at price farm ordinance. Highlands planning area land use assessments, they sort of were proactive in getting out ahead and looking at the legal master plan, at the planning area of the legal master plan, and making some changes in the area in 2005. They've been doing great work on a consolidation study with Chester Borough, and they are the experts for that, whatever the outcome will be, depending on the state of the system in my area. But certainly, they were leaders, and have been shown to be quite recognized. They were also involved in pulling together four towns in the recreation planning, Chester Township, Chester Borough, Medham Township, and Medham Borough. Again, all four towns to be recognized when they pulled together. To take a more regional view of how they can better effectuate planning such as recreation. Environmental planning utilities are master plan elements and then protect public wells. So again, attention to that kind of detail. Stormwater management and pollution prevention plans. And then looking to the future into areas where they have potential for redevelopment, potentially for economic redevelopment. The mayor took part in the Mayor's Institute, which was led by the Regional Planning Association for Sustainable Development in the New Jersey Highlands. That happened back in 2007, and the Chester Township at that point focused on the lake factory. There's potential there for future redevelopment and restoration. Many things were discussed, but this is just from the study that was done with the township and RPA at the time, where they discussed issues like the potential for the Old Bay Factory, which has a beautiful main building, the factory here, I believe, and then some smaller buildings across the road, but having great potential in the future. There's a cleanup required here, and this is the Black River, so there's potential there for the trails, link to you, habitat restoration and access there, and new trail systems. So they are keeping their eye out, and we will be working with them again. That's in the transportation plan schedule. And one of the things they asked us to prioritize was the opportunity for further planning for the area. And these are a look at the ordnance maps that you see on the wall in the room. We show them, as you see on the wall, with the areas outside and even within the borough there as wide as out, and that's because, of course, these are ordinance maps, so there are regulations associated with the mapping, so we want to make sure that the ordinance that Chester is considering Chester Township. However, on our slideshow, we want to show it in connection with the land borough, but they're shown for the same house. And here you see the logo for Chester Township, which shows you some of the character of this community and what they seek to protect and have done a wonderful job of doing. Here you see the land use capability zones, the existing communities, areas, the protection zones, conservation zones, and you see the wildlife management area up here and those sub-zones. Here a little clearer as you look through at the municipality. This is that forest resource area mapping, which really, if you look through this, it's really critical for the forest that exists in this area, the density mapping. It doesn't mean the whole area necessarily, but it does mean that all forests which come into that forest resource area are more valuable. It's because of the core forest size and lack of fragmentation, which makes forests in these areas far more valuable to protect. This shows you lakes and ponds, streams, wetlands, and the highlands buffer areas around the streams. You can also see the watershed values by the 14, that's sub-watershed level, whether they are low, moderate, or high in value. The one here that's the lowest is a subwood shed that goes up into a town hall there. Here you see riparian area mapping, and again the riparian integrity again by the subwood shed, low, moderate, or high. See slope protection areas. This one shows you critical wildlife habitat, significant natural areas, you see it up there, and vernal pools. One entire vernal pool here, it falls within that wildlife management area, and there's a part of one up here and here, and they're shown, of course, with the visual mass and thousands of couples. Here you see karst topography or limestone areas, you see prime groundwater recharge, and your wellhead protection area. This map shows you agricultural resource area. Again, this is a similar type mapping as the forest resource area. It's again a density mapping. It means that where you have agriculture that falls within this area, again, it's more critical to protect that. Again, it gets to the size of the agricultural land and lack of fragmentation. They're more valuable in these areas. It's not to say that other areas aren't, other farmlands aren't preserved as well and have their own merits. This shows you the scenic resources, it shows you the forest properties from the SHPO data in Chester. Here you see public community water systems shown in the blue, and small area there of the Highland domestic sewage facilities, those areas serve very small areas up here, like for example in the school area. Conservation priority areas. This showing you preserved lands, and here you see the highest priority again mandated by the Act for preservation, and now showing you high and medium priorities for preservation. Again, this is Highlands mapping, because the township will have its own goals, and that those two can be put forth in their open space and recreational plan. Obviously, they've been a ton of work in that area. So this is sharing our data with them as well, and certainly sharing it with Green Acres. Likewise, looking at agricultural priority areas, because this is all out of preserved land, we see high priorities here, and then we add to that the moderate, the second tier of important lands for preservation from the Highlands mapping for agricultural land. A quick look at their petition and the timing of it. Their petition for current conformance was submitted 12/07/09, and at this point it might be a good time to tell you that the resolution actually says 2010, it should read 09 as it's here. So we do realise that it is in the past, not into the future. Their petition was deemed administratively complete 2/4/2010. It was posted to the Highlands website back in February. In June, the draft consistency review report was sent to the municipality, at which time we entered into that response period. And as we had that discussion here at the council, when the municipality wants to extend that, we work with them. Thus, it was 9/29/10 that the final draft report was posted to the Highlands Council website. And in October, on the 14th, was the end of the public comment period, which had started at the end of September, September 30th. The final report was posted to the council website on the 18th, and today is the public hearing that is required for Chester Township petition. The required submittals for their petition are the 7 modules that you are very familiar with. And in the case of Chester Township, the petition is for both planning and preservation area lands. Running through the different modules, modules 1 and 2 are the build-out report. This report was posted to the website July 9th of 2009. Their work on their build-out is consistent. Just a couple of points on the build-out report while we're at this, because I think it will fold into something that Cromwell will discuss in a couple of moments. The build-out report is Highlands work. It is not based on municipal zoning. The information is compiled by the Highland Council and then shared with the municipality to verify the accuracy of that information. If anything is inaccurate, the municipality corrects that and shows us the substantiate those corrections. I think that's important in the light of what Tom will talk about in a few moments, to talk about that. Also to understand that the build-out reports are done based on the mandate of the Highland Act, which said that the resource assessment has to be done, and then that the council would determine the amount of development that could occur based on the protection of those resources. So that is the is what we have done in our build-out report. And that leads us into the housing plan module 3. And at this point, because of recent litigation and a recent finding by the appellate court, I'd like Tom to update you on that.
Yeah, I can provide a little summary of the recent health business decision. As you may know, the court invalidated COA's third round rules, known as the gross share rules, essentially finding that it violated the Mount Laurel constitutional provision in that the rules allowed municipalities discretion to essentially project their growth. And so the court invalidated the those COA's rules. COA now is in a position to determine if they want to bring this up to the Supreme Court. So we don't have definitive word as to what will occur in terms of that, but we'll update you as it goes forward. In addition, as you may know, the Assembly Housing Committee introduced a bill similar to the Senate Bill Number 1, so there's legislative initiative to fundamentally alter the way affordable housing is advanced in New Jersey. So we're certainly at a time of uncertainty with respect to affordable housing. With respect to Module 3, Chester has submitted their fair share plan and adopted housing elements to COA for certification. So, as you see here, we've found that their plan, as reviewed by our staff, is consistent with the regional master plan. As the rules change for affordable housing, of course, towns may have to come back and revise their plans accordingly with any new state law requirements. And as you know, it's a mandatory aspect of conformance, and so we'll provide grant funding to update that analysis.
The town is already third round certified.
It's district court. If they're certified, I don't know if we have a real answer for that. They have protections of the Builder Remedy case, certainly, for now. It may be, should the rules change, COA would have to revise their rules and address that issue as to what time they would need to come in for recertification consistent with the new rules. There are two Highland towns that were certified prior to the growth share rules. It was the prior grocery rules. So suffice to say, there's no real clarity in terms of that. What we've been recommending to all towns is that they ensure that protections are put in place to protect them from those remedies. So we've been providing money to submit to COA or submit to court to do protection there.
And this is critical, I think, when it comes to the conditions of the petition, as was the case in Byron and as was the case today. We always condition those findings on meeting the Mount Laurel obligations in whatever manner will be designed to do so. So we stay on the proactive side of this. This council has been proactive in assisting municipalities to provide affordable housing, and we'll continue to do so with Mount Laurel. Module 4 was the environmental resource inventory, and in the case of Chester Township, it was consistent with all the applicable narrative portions were retained, as were all the exhibits. Module 5, which is the master plan element, again, their submittal was based on the model, all applicable narrative portions retained, and exhibits provided too. So that too is consistent, as is the land use ordinance. Again, the applicable narrative portions were retained, and in the case of the exhibits, we have to replace those with updated Highland Council parcel-based exhibits. But again, everything is consistent. Module 7, which is the actual petition itself, they have the petitioning resolution or ordinance, and a self-assessment report, a list of current planning documents, and the Highlands Implementation Plan and Schedule, which is worked out between the Township and the Highlands Council. The Chester submittal was all based on the Highlands Council module. They gave us a resolution, one for the preservation area and another for the planning area. So they're complete. Their self-assessment report was accurate and complete, and all their requested planning documents were submitted to the council. So again, from their petition perspective, they are viewed as consistent. From the public comment period, we did receive comments. It opened, as I told you earlier, on September 30th. The period closed October 14th. Notice was given in area newspapers as well as on our website and through the Highlands Council email alert system. I remind the public again, you can sign up on our website to be alerted when, and what we do is whenever any major changes are made to the website, such as public comment period, we send out an alert to all of those that have signed up. Comments were received from Mayor Cover of Chester Township, a municipal comment, from Nicholas Tuparo, on behalf of landscape architect, as too with the Erica Solberger comment. Fair Share Housing Centre submitted comments, the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and New Jersey Farm Bureau. What we did give more detailed responses that are available on our website, but we sort of wanted to go over major points here for the council and the public. But again, the public comment response document is on the website. There were concerns in the petition, as the staff had noted, with regard to one provision for affordable housing in the Fair Share Plan, and that was known as the Byrne Apartments. And we received a letter from the mayor of the township of Chester, Mayor Cogger, and that letter let us know that the Byrne Apartments site was to be removed from the township Fair Share Plan and is no longer proposed. So the preparation and submission of that revised Fair Share Plan is now a condition of approval. So that was at the request of the mayor that that was to be removed. So that issue is no longer an issue of concern. Requests were submitted by the two that I referred to earlier from on behalf of landscape architects that the land use ordinance be modified to include them among specials listed as required for various types of application review. So what we've done is we will have updated the Highlands Area Land Use to include any professionals licensed by the state of New Jersey that are specifically permitted to review and provide findings as noted in the Highlands Land Area Land Use Ordinance. So landscape architects are included. We did receive a number of detailed comments from the New Jersey Farm Bureau on the land use ordinance in regards to how farming and agriculture are treated. Again, that detailed response to each comment was provided, so we want to really draw your attention to what we believe was the most relevant response and, in fact, was the response to many of the comments and concerns that were brought to our attention. And that is that the land use ordinance for the Highlands area provides a very important exclusion for agriculture, and the citation is there. And I read it, unless specifically indicated otherwise, and in that case only to the specific extent indicated, the provisions of this ordinance shall not apply to agricultural or horticultural use and development. So that's very important. And if there was concern about the specifics where it does apply, it's when three cases. One is where there's public health and safety, that is consistent with the Right to Farm Act. And then there's the two plans that are required, one when you reach 3% or more impervious, additional impervious surface, there's a farm conservation plan required, and when it's 9% impervious surface or more, a resource management system plan. Those are the specific areas. A letter was filed with COA by Fair Share Housing Centre objecting to the use of the Highland Council build-out results to adjust the township's fair share obligation. And we just want to say that they not, that comment relates directly to what Tom spoke of before, that litigation. So we feel that, that it's not really right at this point in time. However, I think the points that I made earlier about the build-out analysis and how that's done would clarify the fact that the build-out was based upon the Highland Act and the Regional Master Plan requirements and not just the township zoning. So the petition recommendation from the Highlands Council is to approve with conditions. The proposed conditions are as follows. the adoption of an ordinance petitioning for the planning area, as that is a requirement of the Highlands Act. Adoption of the interim checklist ordinance. Development applications referred to the Highlands Council for Regional Master Plan consistency determination prior to local determination's completeness. And that's only for the period where the adoption of those master plan and ordinance provisions are pending. So it's really to protect the municipality in that interim period. Adoption of completed final environmental resource inventory. Development Highlands Council approval, and that comes if there are any substantive deviations from the models provided. And adoption of the final Highlands Elements and Land Use Ordinance, so the approval kicks in at that point. Adoption of updated zoning maps. Compliance with the Fair Housing Act, so certification, and that's to the extent that Tom described earlier and understanding that there's different changes here, but making sure that the land is protected and is consistent with the national law obligation. Update and development of water use and conservation management plan, stormwater management plan updated only, habitat conservation management plan, land preservation stewardship program, septic system management and maintenance plan. Again, we'll draw your attention to the fact that many of these issues are covered by the different towns. We examine them again in terms of consistency with the regional master plan, also in terms of creating models. All of these are always dependent on the funding supplied by the council consistent with the Highlands Act, which said that the reasonable cost of plan conformance would be borne by the Highlands Council through the Highlands Protection Fund, and also the supply of models in the case of things like the Water Use and Conservation Management Plan. You know we're developing models at the moment, all of those issues supplied to the town in order to work moving forward. But these conditions are in their plan implementation plan and schedule. So that brings us to the end of the staff recommendation for the petition for Chester Township for the Highlands Council consideration today.
Thank you, Eileen. I'd just like to comment on one item. Can you hear me back there? I turned the blower off so that you can be heard. I can be heard. You can hear me. I can hear you. You mentioned that you worked with the town in order to get to this point. And we spoke about that before. And the Highlands Council has always been more than willing to work with municipalities to achieve the desired results. Can you, in a sentence or two, give me some idea, I know this is protocol coming out of left field, a sentence or two about what the composition of that working with the town phrase really means. The town is not in here on its own when they apply for, when they make a decision for performance, or for anything else to do with the Highlands. The council has always been willing to, quote, work with the town. What does that mean? In real terms.
I think the very composition of the council, having elected officials, such as municipal officials and county officials, and then the membership of the council, which looks at the different, from different viewpoints, at the needs of the constituents of any municipality, has recognized that in order for this program to work and for protection to occur, that the planning has to be a partnership. And the protection capacity in partnership with the municipalities. Your staff has always worked to build a relationship of trust with municipalities, to go out to municipalities at municipalities' request to make presentations, to make sure that those presentations are focused on the municipality itself and its relationship to the region, but rather than having this view that we're state officials and it's the state coming to municipalities. We view ourselves as building those relationships with municipalities, and we believe it is our job to understand municipalities better and to make sure that the information that we've carefully compiled is actually verified by the municipalities, because again we've learned that too often the state makes assumptions about municipalities, about their ability to grow, about where their natural resources are, about where the developed areas are, about the work they've done in the past. So we try to make sure that we understand that we're coming to municipalities that have a history of work in terms of planning and protection, that we understand them, that we work with them, that we better explain the regional master plan to them, that we create model documents such that they don't have to start from scratch with the plan, and that at the end of a petition, as you're looking at today, we hope that municipalities will say that they've enjoyed a working relationship with a professional staff that work under the direction of this council, that we, that their professionals, their planners, their land use attorneys, and their engineers, working with our staff of planners, engineers, and attorneys, have found that we're knowledgeable about the issues they're facing, and that we're responsive to their concerns and their priorities. I'm over 2 seconds. I'm not very good at that.
That's very important, I think. Extra clarification, not just for the council, except for the members of the public who are here and who will be listening to this and reading about it later. We're here to work with the town. That's always been the goal of the Highland Council. It was the goal of the Act when it was first introduced. And we want to do what the towns want done, not what necessarily others want done. We do provide benefits and protections under the Highland Act and under the Regional Master Plan, and those are important for many towns, and that's why this clarification I think is useful. Thank you. Our next item of business is indeed the resolution that will consider the addition of the plan.
Question first, or clarification?
Sorry.
No, to add something, yes, from clarification before the motion.
On the petition?
Just on the presentation and
yes, sure, on the presentation. I'm sorry, if I'm
interrupting. That's okay. Just a couple questions. What's the size of that area that's a potential redevelopment area? Would you call it the base factory?
No, base factory in acres, I have no idea. You know, how many? Yeah. 5-10 acres, yeah. Across the street.
Across the street.
I think we have to pay attention to the fact that the lack of infrastructure to support anything that would be skyscraper-sized is not going to happen in Chester County.
I'm going to get a chance to speak. I'd be happy to explain this.
Okay. Then the other question is, you know, the whole COLA thing. So the township has submitted their third round plan based on our numbers,
yes,
and they have allocated the proper space locations within the township to fulfill that.
They are consistent with the regional master plan. They may have to address some issues because they've removed the borough department, but they have sufficient units. It's a question really of the methodologies that are required under the COLA rules, but all of that is currently, as you know, up in the air. But certainly, they have been diligent in meeting the requirements of COLA and getting their plan down there and being consistent with the regional master plan.
In the area that they've identified, though, where they're placing, you know, we've reviewed that and made sure that it's informed from an environmental standpoint.
Yes, and in fact, the planner liaison, the Chester Township, Jane Humphreys, is also our resident, we've heard of our resident COLA expert as well. So, and he actually has reviewed, just like everything as a team, he actually reviews all of the affordable housing elements that come in for all of the petitions. But so yes, that was done and it is consistent.
And what happens, and this is because it's one of our first, but what if the COLA demands change, if they go up and they don't accept the numbers we submitted?
Well, we have a memorandum of understanding with COLA with regard to the use of the numbers. So that was all agreed upon with them. A certain timeline was put in place, certain extensions were given, certain requirements, all of those being met. Now, if things shift into the future, which
right.
we think is likely,
everything's up for grabs.
Then we will do our best once again to protect the municipalities to work with them. But I think what's important is that Mount Laurel also seeks to environmentally sensitive lands. And so our build-out work is based on what can occur while protecting our environmentally sensitive areas. So I think that our municipalities are in a good place for future planning because of the amount of data we've collected and information we can give to municipalities to protect them from any development that would be inconsistent with the regional master plan.
And to add to that, that even the new bills that have been introduced specifically reference environmental essential lands and the Highlands Act itself.
I noticed the existing community, but I didn't see a designated center. Is there one? Or?
I would say, I'm going to think the mayor might want to speak about this, but in a community such as this, there is a center. The borough is really where there is the most developed area. And it, as is often not always the case in a borough and in a township, you have the center as such really focusing on the borough, and the township is more of your environment.
Yeah, well, my question is, will there be a designated center?
No. There's no request for designated center.
That's about that. Redevelopment. Yeah. Would it be big enough to make it into a center?
Now, there are opportunities, and some municipalities may request a very small center because you can, in the sense of a hamlet, a village. Those are a hamlet can often be just like crossroads, but the Chester Township did not request a centre. The other thing is that the staff, our planning staff, do look at opportunities like that as well, and certainly in the case of some of the municipalities that are going through the conformance process, we've advised them to potentially look at some areas where we see perhaps the infrastructure to support a designation such as that. But we always look at capacity indicators before we would even suggest that that be appropriate to consider.
Any other questions? No. We have the resolution. I appreciate the motion.
I'll move the resolution, please.
Okay. Any other comments at this time, or council members? I'd like to open this portion to the public. Any comments from the public?
Mr. Chair? Would you like the mayor to speak?
Actually, I'd like to speak at the end of the public.
Okay. Unless we've got everything.
Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. I want to say first thing that our 7 pages of comments were not directed personally at Chester, but Chester being the first one with any amount of farmland, we thought we should take a good look at it because it shows on the ground in detail how the RMP is going to be impacting farmland owners. So that's why I submitted 7 pages of comments and you submitted 14 pages of response. I hope I won't have to do that again to take up your time, but I don't want to review 7 of these in that much detail. But I do think it was worth the effort. There are now some clarifications in writing that I think will be useful. There's one area, though, that still we warned about this in the beginning, and I think it's going to become a problem. Is in the fact that there's a woodland management plan with certain requirements that farmers with more than 51% woodland have to fill out, get approved by the state forester and the Chester, etc. And hopefully those people have one on file. And their deadline for farmland assessment to assure that the activities are done if it is August 1st every year. It's not clear whether the forest management plan that is the wording that's used in several places is the same thing as the farmland management plan. It's not clear whether farmland assessment is going to consider it the same thing. And then there are a lot of other things. There's another one, our assessment was changed to enable forest stewardship plans. So, in my opinion, the whole woodland issue is very confusing. And I suggest that, maybe we can get the foresters, the forestry association maybe, and, their staff and us together on this. Not that we can change the act or the RMP, but there may be an opportunity as these land use releases go on to make things a little quicker. So that was a major concern that still remains after all your very good answers to the rest that we've brought up. Just one question. I'm wondering, when does the staff post the map? Like, for example, with Hampton, when would the map go up?
Are they still already?
They go up at the time we send back the
draft. So they go up when we post all the information as well. Thank you. So those are so the actual was already posted.
Online?
Yes.
I mean here.
Oh, in the room. Okay, fine. I didn't get on the phone. We actually do these for the meeting. So those are done just for them.
Okay.
So I'm done. What we're trying to do is make the room about the petition.
Right, exactly. I don't know whether you can do it, but if they could go up sooner, I think the farmland owners that are not computer literate and can't get information online, we have suggested that they can come to you to see what the various documents say. And if the maps are up here, that might save a lot of time.
If I may respond, if a member of the public came in and had a request like that, we can use our computer and we'd be able to show them the right way.
Right.
Because honestly, we're very time crunched at the end of municipal comment response documents in getting things ready. So these are being verified from the last minute. So what I would offer is, and we've been doing this, we take constituent calls, we would prefer that somebody call and make an appointment, because we do get walk-ins and we are very limited in our staff. So, but we've never said to somebody we're not going to help you.
Right. I know that, and we appreciate that. And that's what we've told people, but it just would be less complicated if they could drop in, look at the map, and not have to bother your staff.
If we had them ready, Helen, we would put them up. If not, what I would like to do is sit with that person and pull up the map here and assist them. We want to make sure we help people.
Okay, great. I think Jeff is certainly done a very impressive job in putting this together. A lot of work was done before. Chester's always been right there to support agriculture, and we hope that will go on in the future. Thank you.
My name is Deborah Post. I own Block 33, Lot 4 in Chester Township. The stone portion of my old farmhouse was built in 1730. My land has been farmed continuously since that time. Today, my 60-year-old apple trees still produce apples as they used to be, red on the side hit by the sun. My mother and I pioneered the pick-your-own business model back in 1973, when I believe we were the first farm in New Jersey to open our orchards to the general public. I have 5,000 signatures on a petition to pay just compensation for the preservation of my farm. But the Hiram Council, despite having pictures of my apple trees adorning their office walls, doesn't think my property is a farm or should be a farm. Neither my farm nor my neighbor's preserve farm are included in the agricultural designation in the regional master plan. My farm is not to participate in any of the benefits of the agricultural designation. Mr. Borden and Mr. Swan, two individuals who sit in offices and think up ways to burn New Jersey farmers, just decided that my farm was not a farm. Ms. Swan's double talk earlier today, notwithstanding. They now want my municipality to adopt their clueless thinking. I am to be denied all equal protection with other farmers in the Highlands. Speaking of equal protection, the RMP treatment of my property is comical. Along my property line on the south is the community planning area zoned for high-density housing. The forest of the RMP is never more clear, as we know this council's so-called science follows a zigzag of a property line on a deed.
Are we really to believe that one side of my deer fence is precious environmentally sensitive land, while the other side has the capacity for high-density housing? In fact, my property is high and dry, with no wetlands and no steep slopes, as demonstrated by the TDR tool finding 18 buildable lots with very little constraints on my property. Ironically, the small area of constraint is where my old farmhouse stands. Historically, no one built on flat, usable land. They build on hills and cliffs and slopes for safety. A year ago, George Ritter, Chester's planner, who has been the beneficiary of lucrative grants for this council, publicly stated in his presentation to the Chester Planning Board that the conformance process would be nothing more than an overlay, and I quote, overlay, of the RMP on Chester's current and base zoning. I asked him the direct question, and he confirmed that the base zoning would not change. The overlay concept is one of this council's staff, head planner, over and over last year, while handing them papers for them to Xerox and used in preparing municipalities' conformance documents. Yet I now read that that Chester will not be in conformance until the base zoning is changed. So, George Ritter lied in a public hearing when he reiterated the lies of this council staff. Last year, during a campaign stop at the House of Good Shepherd, Governor Christie was asked about the Highlands Act. He responded with, "The Democrats lied to you when they promised to pay the landowners." So the conformance process brings us more lies. Will the lying never end? Not long ago, the Chester Council passed a resolution in conjunction with an 8-year farmland preservation plan for the Young property on Pleasant Hill Road, promising that the zoning on that property would not change for 8 years. I queried this council how it would advise Chester to handle the Young property in the protection zone when Chester votes to rezone to conform to the RMP. This question is of particular interest because the landowner in question, Maria Young, is Councilman Cogger's mother-in-law. Clearly, Cogger knew what was coming down the pipe, even though he allowed Mr. Ritter to testify differently before Chester's planning board, and he moved to protect his family's property from the harm Chester will do to the rest of us. And for this, you are heaping praise on Chester. Some comments on Mr. Schreier's request for how well we work with the town here at the council. It is important to recall that the lion's share of Chester Township was not in the preservation area in the original draft of the Highlands Act, and that Chester's mayor in 2004 actively lobbied Trenton to move the line, to politically move the line, to include the lion's share of Chester in the protection area. We know this because he has publicly bragged that he told Trenton, the Trenton representative, "You've missed all the farmland." Chester's current mayor sits on this council. That also influences how we work with the towns, Mr. Schreier. I must recall that he told the Observer Tribune that he was a landowner and that he would represent the landowners on this council. In fact, he is not a landowner and has worked ardently to harm those of us who are Chester landowners. September and October are harvest season, a time when a farmer has not one spare moment to prepare comments on a conformance process. I have been de facto denied the opportunity to comment in written detail responding to my objection to the Chester conformance process. I will have more comments later.
Just to make a point, this is public comment on the resolution before us.
Right, exactly. Glad you recognized that in the past that Chester had done a good job of taking care of the land.
Well,
Andy Drysdale, Chester Township. My wife and I own 16 and a half acres on East Box Chase Road. So anyway, getting back to what I was saying, how do we get to this place? And where? The Township of Chester wants to, why, where the Township of Chester wants to opt into this unnecessary Highlands Act. Well, getting back to what I was saying before, about you recognizing that Chester had done a good job in the past, and you had a flyover showing all this green trees and stuff, but then the one line goes right up the side of Mendham Township. You should fly over that to see how much green stuff is there, Mr. Schreier. Have you ever looked at this town from the air? So anyway, the code word that was used was Machiavellian. The governor who used this word to create a legacy for himself was lobbied by environmental extremists, organizations like the Sierra Club, which has worldwide connections. Think about that. Do you know how many Marxists were involved in that? Or if foreign money promoted this? In Chester Township, the original line of the preservation area was moved to the east to include a large part of the township by a mayor who later sat on the Highland Council and then later became commissioner of the State Office of Smart Growth, which should have been called the Office of Dumb Shrinkage, because that's what happened. The government of the Township of Chester was reorganized many years ago under the Faulkner Act, which gives the mayor supreme power over the Township Council. He can do as he wishes, regardless of what the council wants. In effect, he is a dictator. The present mayor, though he may be a good guy, operates under this government and also sits on the Highland Council. Does this sound like democracy? Also complicit in the Highland scam was the state legislature, which has also given up another environmental scam, the New Jersey Cap and Trade Act. Both of these acts are total nonsense. More than two-thirds of the world is underwater, and carbon dioxide is only a fraction of a percent of the atmosphere. Without carbon dioxide, in the atmosphere, life on Earth would not exist. It would just be barren. If you didn't have this stuff, easy. But plants take this stuff in. It's necessary. It's a necessary thing. Mr. Mayor, please do not give away any more of our rights to a larger government. Please. And everyone, please go out and vote in November. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Michelle, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. I just wanted to bring an issue to the council's attention regarding the comments and response document. Number 5 on page A5 talks about exemptions, municipal exemptions, and those determinations. I just wanted to bring to the council's attention again that this has really been an issue since the beginning of the Highlands Act implementation. It's very difficult to go through that process to show that you're exempt. There's clear exemptions in the statute, therefore in the RMT. And it needs to come, they need to get clarification on how that process will work. I think it would make sense to have that happen at the municipal level. Going back to DEP looking for a hat or looking for an exemption can be problematic, and there's also a fee attached. So I think if the activity is in conformance with a plan that's required, then anything in conformance with that plan would be exempt. So however we need to clarify that, I think it's really important, because I don't think we want to have people having to go back and forth every time they go to do something that's in their plan that's been approved, but they need to get another exemption. So however we can clarify that, maybe we can clarify that during the forestry plan discussion, but I do think it's an important thing that we need to address early on so it's consistent in all the land use ordinances. Thank you.
My name is David Schoaf. I have a farm in the preservation area, and my farm too was moved by the moving boundaries from exclusion of the preservation area to inclusion. And I think Swan was mayor at that time. I don't really recall, but I think so. In regards to the issue before you, you are offering to Chester Township and all other townships, as far as that goes, what I call the Cola Bribe. We have two sets of science here. We have the Cola science, which says that you can have X number of units in your town and you're required to do so. And then we have the Highland science, which says, oh no, Co is wrong, and you can only need this number of Coa units. That is the essence of the Coa bribe. Lower requirements for low-income housing, because nobody wants those poor people. Those poor people have kids, and the kids cost money to educate. And we don't want to burden the existing taxpayers with the cost of education of others. It is simply one of the more cynical aspects of a very cynical bill, which is predicated not on science at all. There's no science to this. And when I hear Swan and others, Ford and so forth, talk about valuable resources, and this should be a valuable resource. This should be, quote, protected, unquote. My question is, valuable to who? If its value is to the public, where is the public's checkbook? It's simply not there. The state is broke. What do I hear this morning? The superintendent in Tom's River, the FBI is looking for him. They knocked down his door. He's gone. The police chief in Hoboken, who was indicted on 13 counts, another supporter of the Highlands Act, has been convicted. This is what we have in this state. And the cynicism of this is certainly exists here. When you offer to these townships the COA bribe, and they are taking it, they are only too willing to throw a small number of people in their municipality under the bus, so that you can keep more poor people out. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm a Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'm here to support the petition of Chester Township. I have a long history dealing with Chester Township in my previous employment, and I'd like to make you aware of the deep ground that you're plowing today. In 1976, Chester Township did its first environmental resource inventory. That's 6 years after the formation of the DEP. That inventory was done with students of Ian McHarg's from the University of Pennsylvania's landscape architecture program, and significantly, it was a regional inventory. It was the Mendham's and the Chester's, so Mendham Borough, Chester Borough, and the two townships. I commend the report to you. It's about as thick as a Philadelphia phone book, and it's a wonderful educational document for people who don't understand why a keep slope is critical or why forests are important. Chester Township was well aware of this. Shortly after they completed their ERI, they were challenged in court, Caputo versus Chester, which became part of Mount Laurel 2, and sustained the municipality's right to zone in conformance with natural resources present. So Chester Township was on the front line long before we had the statewide plan. In addition to that, they eagerly endorsed embraced the state planning process. And at one point, I remember a discussion about open space in Chester, where it was determined using the usual metrics of open space that Chester had 900% of the open space that was required for its population. Now, some of that, granted, was done by the county and the state, but to their credit, Chester Townships continued to have an active farmland preservation program and an active open space program. Not to think that Chester is entirely a bucolic paradise, Chester Township, along with neighboring Washington Township, wrestled very hard with a Superfund site. It's still present in the town, and it's something that we hope that conformance will help the town deal with in the coming years. Homeville South Landfill is a cleaned-up Superfund site, even though it was ranked number 23 in the state. And I think that's a great accomplishment by the people of Chester and by its municipal government. So I think you have a great partner. I think the relationship should grow, and I'm highly supportive of Chester Township becoming the first town in Morris County to be comfortable. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with Julia Summers from Jersey Highlands Coalition. I didn't want you to think that because I hadn't come up and said how wonderful I think this is, that I didn't believe that. So I just wanted you to know that we're very excited that Chester Township is moving forward with this. They're setting a wonderful model for other communities to follow. They've had very good leadership, as Dave Piper has just pointed out, for many years. They recognize the value of the resources that they have here, and it's wonderful that Chester is moving to help continue to protect them. So I just wanted to you to know that the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, which did submit comments on this, fully supports Chester's position. Thank you.
Any other apples or rickets or phrases? Comments? Mayor Carter? In your capacity?
I finally get to sit at this table after listening to all of these meetings for all of this time. So.
You identify yourself for the
record? My name is Jack Fryer. I'm Bill Cotter, Mayor of Chester Township. Carol Eisman and Dan O'Donnell are here. You guys stand up. You guys can take some of this. Dan is the chair of our planning board, also the Environmental Commission, and Carol runs the town. So it's just over worth hearing about that. Today, I'd like to make some comments about some of the comments that we've heard, but I'd like to tell you a little story as well. About 21 years ago, we had an election in Chester Township that really set the course of what you saw on that wonderful presentation. Ken Carroll was elected mayor, and Ken ran on a preservation platform, and the fellow that he opposed, who was a decent guy, really wanted to go after development rails. So it was really a seminal moment for Chester Township in terms of turning the corner in whether we were going to become more Mount Olive-like or more Persephone-like or more rural. Ken spent 9 years as mayor, and worked very hard at laying the groundwork for the scientific basis of Steve Slopes and preservation. He was a real unsung hero in that regard. He was a member of our planning board and later became its chair again and directed Chester Township. Fortunately, after Ken, Ben Spinelli, who most of you know, became mayor of Chester Township. Ben is also a brilliant planner and a great environmentalist and a scientist in his own right. And it was Ben's task to preserve that property. $55 million was spent in public funds to preserve open space and farmland in Chester Township during Ben's reign as mayor. I'm happy to say that 85% of that approximately was state dollars and county dollars. So the burden on Chester Township was roughly $6 million. A great buy by any standard. If you add the numbers together, preserved farmland and open space, 45% of Chester Township, over 12 square miles, is preserved forever. It's not going anywhere. And when I hear about COA issues, I have to laugh. We have about 100 lots left. I mean, I guess you could build a skyscraper. But the reason for conformance today and for our petition is not for COA protection. Believe me, we have that covered. We'd like the fact that we wouldn't have to pay if somebody would sue us, but we fully intend on meeting our affordable housing commitment. As a matter of fact, we have one project on the board right now, which is a nursing home that we're going to convert. I think we're going to get 12 or 13 units. This is for severely developmentally disabled individuals who have terminal illness. It's a very difficult need to fill in the state. It also takes people out of institutions. And Chester Township is fully committed financially to try and make this happen. So we're not just giving people rhetoric or building affordable housing willy-nilly. We're trying to meet the needs that fit within our community. We have virtually no transportation, so if you want to be an affordable housing person, you need to have a car. We have no town center, as was pointed out, so we don't have jobs available in the town. We use Chester Borough as our town center. They're either the crown and the jewel or the hole in the donut, depending upon which mayor is speaking. And I hope that gets back to the current mayor and he'll have a good chuckle over that. The other aspect that I want to talk to you about a little bit today is the economics of open space. I've heard an awful lot of talk, and I agree that the state should be compensating landowners for their lost value. But I can tell you that every property that was purchased in Chester Township, every farm that was preserved, was done so at fair market value. That every landowner had the benefit of an independent analysis prior to striking a deal. And that's in addition to the Green Acres analysis or the farmland preservation. That we also provided the township planner on the township's nickel to do an overlay of what the most appropriate development would be of that property. So every landowner that engaged in that process during that period of time seemed to receive adequate compensation and receive that compensation at the peak of the market. So along with the governor's new dual appraisal process, I think that any town that's committed can achieve preservation and pay people at an adequate value, can compensate, but they have to be engaged. So I really get upset when I hear this myth that farmers can't preserve their farms or get adequate compensation. They can. It may not be the compensation that they believe in their mind is what it's worth, but it is the compensation that professional planners and evaluators can place upon the property, both pre and post-final. Well, I think it's really important that we bring that out. I'd also like to just make a little comment about farmland preservation and right to farm. I can assure you 21 years ago, we were not very good at helping farmers. As a matter of fact, most of us thought that farming was an angelic, pastime with the hay fields and some corn crops. And you know what? People could make money doing that 20 years ago. They can't today. Today, farmers are in agrotourism. They're sending out fleets of vehicles to various farm markets in order to make ends meet. Farming has become every bit of business, and municipalities need to recognize that farmers need special dispensation to enable them to cover that. We have a Right to Farm Act that we wrote with the help of the farmers, and we have an active ag advisory committee that when issues come up, instead of passing legislation, we sit down with people and we talk to them about what the best way it is to deal with that from a farmer's perspective. The last issue that we confronted was events. Now, if you've driven through Western Morris County in pumpkin season or seen a horse show, you know that things get pretty well jammed up. And we were concerned that maybe we needed to pass some sort of ordinance to affect the health and safety of both the farmers, the workers, and the people that were there. We met with our Ag Advisory Committee. They said, you know, it's to our advantage that people are happy, healthy, safety, and they get through pretty quick, so why don't you let us try and figure out a way to do it and not pass any ordinances. It was about 5 years ago. We still don't have an ordinance as it relates to that, and I think all of the farmers in the community have united together to make it happen. So I just point out that everything doesn't have to be formalized. You can work with your constituents and they can surprise you. So, any questions of me about Chester Township? Dasha.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I wanted to be the last speaker. I think he is. Thank you for your comments. Any other comments from council members or
questions? Side by side, what are the pros, cons, advantages, disadvantages, benefits, disadvantages of a farm that is in an ADA and one that's not?
An agricultural development area designated by the town or an
well,
ARA?
Well, that was on the map.
That's an agricultural resource area.
ARA.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because I know the ADA conforms to
the woodlot management plan versus forest management.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of different words that kind of lead to the same thing. But so what is there any significant difference, and if so, what is the difference to a farmland owner that's on one side of the line versus the other side of the line? Or a farm operator?
Well, I'm gonna ask Tom to help me on this one, but I do think that the density mapping is informational for us to understand where there's so much agricultural land that, because you try to build up your preservation in terms of clustering, just as the Farm Preservation Program does, it awards points for if you're adjacent to already other preserved land. So what we try to do is look at where there are 250 acres, for example, of core forest for the forest resource or agriculture for land for the agricultural resource area. So it's a density mapping to say that there's a lot of farming in this area. It's less fragmented than in other areas. So if you're trying to build a mass of land and contiguous land, this is the best area for it. But in terms of if what we do is we give that information to the town. We also give our priority list to the SADC for where we feel the most critical farms are for protection. And indeed, many of those will fall within the ARA area. However, in the case of our priority list for conservation or for farm preservation, we recognize the municipality has its own plan and its own reason for choosing to protect certain farms or certain areas for conservation. And we support that as well. If you were to say, would there be preference for a farm, I think that would it goes to the SADC and they will make the determination, and it will depend on the funding partners. And I think it will go through the normal process. I do not think that a farm will be left out of the program. And I can, in Chester Township alone, I can tell you that a farm was going through the preservation program and was accepted and is not in the ARA, and thus would move through and be protected if the farmer agreed to the terms that SADC had set forth. And not being in the ARA was never an issue raised by SADC in terms of that protection. And you do have Monique here as well, who can weigh in on that too.
Well, I was just going to say, it's always been my understanding that about 90% of the farms in the Highlands region are captured in the ARA mapping However, any farm that is outside of the ARA does not mean that those protections or those policies of the ARA do not apply to that farm. It's just a way to try to identify large contiguous regions of farmland with several overlays, all looking at one and the same thing. If somebody falls out of that, but they're still a farm, commercial farm, they still get the same policy treatment.
The one thing I'll add is the right to farm that provision apply throughout the municipality. The second thing is the primary ordinance issue regarding the ARA is residential cluster. It's a little different in Chester's case because, as I understand it, I think the entire ARA is in the preservation area and the ability to cluster is limited by the DEP rule. But if you were in the planning area for the ARA, I think it may have significant implications for a residential cluster in those areas, in which case there's more opportunities for clustering.
And then setting aside the differentiation of the planning rule, you just said the right to farm, eligibility for cost sharing, for benefits from NRCS or FSA, all those things remain exactly equal. No matter if the line is blind.
Yes.
Thank you.
Seeing no one else wishing to speak, I'd like to have a roll call on the resolution.
I just want to amplify two issues that I think still remain out there that I think are really important for us as a board to address. And one of them has been going on for 18 months, which is the definition of owner entity for application of the exemption. For exemptions 1 and 2 especially, it's pretty clear what happens when the owner is an individual, but what happens when the owner is a family-held LLC. And this is especially important when we talk about farmland, when we talk about family-owned businesses. It's pretty common knowledge in the world today of tax planning, passing down a business from generation to generation. You form an entity and you tax plan. So who is the relative of an LLC? When it comes to the exemptions, we might all agree that if it's a family-owned LLC, everybody who's a relative of the family owners is already encompassed by the definition of a family member in the Act, but we haven't been able to get the DEP or the AG to say, yes, we agree with that common sense approach. And I think it really is something that's critical. I'm actually very surprised that we have not yet had a case where a lot that's owned by an LLC or a family-held corporation, a family desire to build a home for the next generation, and there's been a question, well, wait a minute, you know, that's so-and-so farm LLC, and this person is not the son of so-and-so farm LLC, maybe the son of a member of that. I'm very surprised. It will happen in time. And I think the legislature intended for the son of a family held LLC to be able to have a home on the land. And we just need to get this clarified. And encourage you to push. And the second thing would be, as we delegate exemptions to municipalities, I know I'm fully aware we're appropriately training and delegating. I want to be out of the exemption business. I think it's going to be better handled in the grassroots. But I think right now we can only delegate planning area responsibility. I think that we really need to push to get the preservation area too. There is no reason why a properly trained zoning official in a municipality can't make determinations, for instance, for exemption 1 or 2 in a preservation area. If they're trained to do it in a planning area, they can certainly do it in a preservation area. There's no reason why they can't. And I think that maybe the time we have an administration that's a little bit streamlined, and it's foolish to send the property owner to Trenton to get an exemption. 1 or 2 especially, when it can be handled right on the municipal level very easily. Those are my two comments for members to be prepared to vote.
I have a question on the exemption. And that being said, we say in our response requirement that how impossible will have a training professional by way of a training manual or whatnot. I think that would be, I don't know if we have it in place yet or not, but if we don't, we probably ought to expedite it. And when we do that, that will be a powerful tool in that strength, that we're capable of managing it by ourselves, thank you. And I think that would be very important if we, as we move forward with all these performances, I think that is especially important, because one of the concerns of the municipality, of course, is home rule, particularly in the planning area. But if you can do it in the planning area, what's wrong with doing it for your whole municipality? I mean, at the same time, planning and preservation doesn't make a hill of beans different. It's still the municipality. Although some of the rules and sensitivities are different, the responsibility of the local officials don't change. And so just because it's preservation doesn't mean someone in Trenton knows better than what the town does. So it would be very important if we actually added some training that would validate what we're doing.
The exemption issues come back to the council in any case, when the council has the ability to
planning area, we do preservation area consultation with the legal issues and exemptions.
Any other last minute? Prior to the vote?
Councilmember Olmsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Sorry.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember West?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishano? Councilmember Fizzioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes. Thank
you. Hold on. Mayor, would you like to come and join the council? If you'd like to take the front please, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mayor, so that we can take the official photograph, and then the mayor will call up those who have been proudly for the second photograph.
Okay.
Nathan will take pictures.
Then
we'll get back to you.
Okay.
And James, if you please come up, the municipal liaison. The
council members, are they?
Okay, thank you very much, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm a smart man because I remember. Just remind council members that the next meeting of the council will be on Friday, November 19th, just after the municipal convention, and the time will be 1:00 in the afternoon. Subsequent to that, the final meeting of 2010 will be on December 16th at 4 p.m. The actual anniversary. Thank you, Jeff. December 16, 2004, was the first meeting of the New Jersey Economic Freedom Protection Department. And we celebrated at that point, our...
Exactly, bringing the cookie?
Sixth birthday. Good idea. I need to be reminded.
I will remind you.
Can we revisit the bylaws?
Yeah, that's quite right.
One of the farmers on the council would always bring corn to the meeting in season.
Might bring some, and they got to give it away.
I didn't even give it to the council members, it was something for
taxes. Just an idea. And then, could you do that research for us?
I'll be glad.
And make sure that I don't win.
I imagine it's pretty darn close.
I think so too.
Horrified.
I can remember one meeting that I did miss. I had the flu. And
is being on the phone count?
Yeah.
Or is it physically here?
Okay.
Being on the phone count.
Moving right along.
Can you put that?
Yeah. We have before us a resolution considering the general operating budget for the fiscal year 2011, and I'll turn this over to the Treasurer for comment.
All of you in your packet have a copy of the budget. It's in the back of the right side. The most, Janice and I met with staff on this and we reviewed the budget. But I'd like to just give you some of the highlights. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see that 20% number. That is the reduction in red of the allocations that we're receiving. So the budget that we're working through this year is reduced. We're also down one full-time employee and one part-time employee. So both revenue and staffing is down for next year, for 2011. Really, the areas of increased expenditure in terms of percentages, you have to look at the servers. We're in the process of replacing our six-year-old servers. It was really apropos that we had the Wildwood comment because they tried to fix it, the system crashed. And if you know anything about technology, data, images, and whatnot are all really mathematical calculations, and the speed of the processor and the storage capability is very important. And we're about three generations behind in terms of where our servers are. So. I think it's completely appropriate that we replace them. And I'm really fearful if they go down, the cost of reconstructing and bringing something in is going to greatly outweigh and be a tremendous amount of data that we rely upon on a regular basis. If there are any other questions, I'll try to answer them. I did ask Eileen to speak through the governor's office. Could you comment on that, if you would?
Certainly. As you're all aware, we do not fall under the authority of any of the departments down in state government. However, we are part of the authorities unit. So even though we're in but not off the Department of Environmental Protection, we're not under any authority of the commission or any officers from the Department of Environmental Protection as dictated in the Highlands Act. We are, however, an authority. So we're under the government authorities unit. And we work very closely with them, and we also work very closely with Office of Management and Budget in the Department of Treasury. So the leading up to the FY11 budget, we had worked with the Department of Treasury and had been asked to look at various scenarios of reduction, and thus you see the reduction of 20%, which was achieved through an agreement with the Department of Treasury that it would be a one-time reduction, and we achieved it through removal of money from the regional master plan budget. And you know, the regional master plan budget was meant to assist us moving forward with our science agenda and making sure that we have to constantly update our information as more data becomes available. We have to make sure that we remain relevant and share that information with town. So that was an agreement with the Office of Management and Budget. They had a look at the numbers, the scenarios, and that this was the one chosen that would have reduced our budget by 20%, our allocation from state government. Further then, on refining, knowing that, and that was actually refining our budget, and looking to cut as many corners as we can. And, you know, I thank our various staff, because we've all had a look at this to make sure we could do it. We reduced the budget as much as we could on all the different line items, and as Bill pointed out, we do have some purchases that we have to make in order to make sure that our systems stay up and running and can contain all the data that we use. So I reached out to the Governor's Authorities Unit and shared all the information with them. They did come back with many questions and were very diligent in their questioning of any line items that they felt should be further reviewed. So we worked together, and really it's been over the last 2 weeks a series of questions and answers to the Governor's Authorities Unit, because we wanted to make sure, and the Treasurer gave me clear direction that he wanted to make sure that I had satisfied the Governor's office before he would make a motion on this budget to this council. So I have been able to assure him that we've answered every question, and I did ask the Governor's Authorities Unit to tell me if they were satisfied with all the responses at this point in time, and they have been pleased, yes, with those responses and are at this point satisfied. So those are my answers to you, Mr. Treasurer. I hope that satisfies you.
I think we are adequately funded in a very lean way moving forward. I don't think there's much more you can take out of this budget than really seriously impeding the work of the staff. There's just so much work to do, so data intensive. It's not something you can just do in the back of the napkin. I mean, it looks easy for us. We come here once a month, and we get to look at great presentations and all of that. Tremendous amount of work. So, with that, I would like to make a motion on the resolution that we accept this budget.
Second.
Mr. Chair, before we go, may I add one comment to it? And that's because the Treasurer did comment on the staffing situation. I did want you to know that we basically reduced the number for half of the fiscal year, because we do have a request in to fill those positions. The problem we're currently suffering with is the fact that we are, as you know, increasing the number of positions coming in. We only have five planners on staff. Again, everybody pitches in here, but it becomes a sort of a funnel then, and it's very difficult. And some of the municipalities are asking us to move their petitions forward in a quicker fashion. We can only do what we can manage today. So, but I did want you to know that the request is in. But we just decided that we should reduce the numbers and hope that in the new year we will be able to fill those positions and thus increase our responsiveness to the municipalities, because to keep maintain the relationship we have and the response time that we've given to municipalities, we really need to be staffed. That would give us 23 full-time staff. And just as a point of comparison, when this body was formed, OLS, the Office of Legislative Services, did an analysis of what the future would need to be. And they compared us to the Highlands and felt that we would need more funding because of the nature of the work we do and also because of the complexity of the TDR program. They are currently, with their reduction in the 50s in terms of SGEs.
So the Highlands,
yes. So I just wanted to give you that because it gives you an idea of the kind of, you know, and we're very willing here to work, and the staff are very committed staff, and they do work longer than the 7-hour work day, I can assure you of that. But I wanted to say that so that you knew that it is in the budget for the latter half of the fiscal year.
And how many personnel would you hope to be able to pick up?
We are down one full-time, so that would bring us up to the 23, which is what we're approved for, and one part-time, because we're approved for five. And those part-time people are invaluable to our work here.
You started with 25.
Yes, we've shrunk, and it was anticipated, of course, that it would grow, particularly as you develop relationships with potentially 88. At this point, 76 out of those are town watching.
Not many to watch the building. The only little contention I have is that the word hopefully, or as the builder said, hope screens eternal, and neither of those is an action plan. Hope is not an action plan. Hope is prayerful.
I would thank the government authorities that have been very supportive to us, and they've allowed us to hire and test our NIF manager in the past. Which, thank goodness, because otherwise we wouldn't be secure in our future.
Having said all that,
I'll
comment on the budget. Yes, sir. I'm so excited about the
food. My name is David Chope. I'm the farm and preservation area. The only place I see budgets presented like this is here. This isn't a budget. It barely passes as a thumbnail sketch. There's no detail. Detail should be presented in a budget like this, particularly when you're dealing with the taxpayers' money to the tune of $2,100,000. I need more detail to know what's going on, see where this $2 million is going. I do not recommend approving this budget as presented.
My comments on this budget are for our governor. My name is Deborah Post, Chester Township property owner. My comments on this budget are for our governor's office. I highly recommend that we take the TDR bank and the TDR program and move it down to Treasury, where hopefully we will have some people with some financial and capital market expertise that might even be able to make a TDR program actually work. And that we take the $2.4 million of revenues that are to be wasted on this council next year and put it into the TDR bank. Thank you very much.
Just an aside, Andy, I wish it were true that I was a dictator.
You need to read the rules.
You're right.
It is true. That's a fact. It's true. Look it up. This is outrageous. $2,373,000 to do something that wasn't necessary. Township of Chester was beautiful the way it was. Farmland preservation program was working great. Should have taken this money and bought a farm from folks. Give the farmer the money. You got our farm, which was developed. It was originally my grandfather's farm. It was 120 acres. Well, just on the one side of the road, there's 17 lots there. And the taxes on those houses range from $35,000 to $50,000 a year. Just add that up. That isn't adding what's across the road. Every year, as far as income from that farm, I don't think that amount of one of those tax bills for 1 year was ever grossed from that property over since 1926. Yet we kept the land in good shape. This is outrageous. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Any other comments on the public? Yes. On this resolution.
On this resolution. I got this synopsis sheet out here because I'm not on the internet or whatever. My name's Hank Klopp. I'm a farmer at Pittsburgh.
My question is it's amazing. I wish I could make a budget and revenue to come out so even as this did. Question is how can that be that you can spend that kind of money back and forth? I mean, you know, we try to run a business, and boy, I'll tell you, we can't predict, you know, that we're going to have that. But again, with the state appropriation, the monies and everything else, you can figure that. But what kind of has the salaries been frozen on the Highlands Council? And if not, what were any increases? Or that was never brought into this question. I just wondered, you know, I mean, everybody's tightening their belts. So you said you had a 20% reduction, and you lost, or you're down one full-time, one part-time. But 23 people, that's a lot of money. And, you know, in my case, we don't have that luxury, you know, to have that. But you're doing two different kind of jobs. And the amazing thing that I looked at here, and it was in Mrs. Swan's comments, that a seven-hour work day, boy, that's a half a day for a farmer. You know what I mean? So I just question those things. If you could enlighten me on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you,
Tom. The executive director respond to your questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, hold me the phone.
My pleasure.
Staff salaries have been frozen since 2006. The staff, none of the staff of the Highlands Council are unions, so where union staff have their salaries frozen, they still go up in steps, they still see increases in their salaries. So the Highlands Council staff have seen no increase since 2006. Further, when the union negotiations were completed in Trenton, the union staff got a cost of living adjustment and an increase since 2006, but were asked to pay a further 1.5% to their benefits. The Highlands Council staff paid 1.5%, but did not get the cost of living adjustment, neither did they get any salary increase. So, in effect, their salary then was reduced. Further, the state guidelines were for furlough days to be taken. Ten furlough days to be taken. Authorities did not have to do that because we are not civil servants. However, this council recommended that the staff take some furlough days because, as Mr. Trump pointed out, everybody is, you know, tightening their belts. So that was a further reduction of 10 days pay. So I hope that gives a very clear picture.
The seven-hour work day.
First, this office works, the office hours are 9 to 5. Some staff come in an hour earlier and finish an hour earlier, and there's a lunch time of an hour. But what I was saying is, again, staff are not union in this building, so staff are what we term at-will employees. Staff stay here for as long as it takes to get the job done. And for those of you that know the building well, and I know, for example, that Mr. Carver has come in one evening to do a walkthrough with people, and I believe it was around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and found staff in the building working. Further, if we have breakdowns of the computers on weekends, when a couple of us have the ability to work off-site and work weekends and nights, we call on our MIS manager, Tom Pellegrini, who will come in and have done some in the evening or weekends to fix the computer so that we can continue to work. So my point was that we don't, and I've never had a staff person ever when I said we need to get this work done, this job needs to be done. Nobody has ever said I can't stay. They have always gotten the job done.
All right.
Now. Thank you very much. Councilmember
Alstead? Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Lett?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizzioli?
I'm
Councilmember Richcock?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
Thank you. Hold on. We'll now open the meeting to public comments. Any member of the public can speak to the council on any matter. National, federal, international. That's it.
My name is David Choke. I am a foreman of the preservation area. A couple things. First of all, to address Mr. Carver's comments about farms can be preserved. Friend of mine has a 100-acre farm. He's been endeavoring to put it in a farmland preservation program since essentially the beginning of the program. He was finally told by Frank Pinto not to do it anymore. He was ranked too low. People who think that they can just raise their hand and have their farms preserved are wrong. You can do that. You get on a list. You get on a list of where you're ranked. And one of the ways you can increase your ranking is be willing to take less than the appraised price, thereby pitting you against your neighbor. It's a cynical, creepy plan administered by a cynical, creepy state government. Certainly was true of the past, and a lot of it resides today still in Trenton. So the idea that you can just simply have this magic money appear from the sky, as Mr. Carver intimates, is wrong. I've also noticed a language change. And the language used in one section of the Highlands Act is just compensation to landowners. Just compensation. That language has now changed to some compensation. Yet to be defined. Just compensation is easily defined. Some compensation really relies on in the eye of the beholder.
Excuse me, where did you find that change in the language in the Act?
The newspaper articles, and I probably have them, and I can bring them in to show you. And I think it was Mrs. Swan who said them. Okay? Or do you want to know where it is in the Act?
I know where it is in the Act.
Okay.
And I thought that the Act was enacted, therefore the language could not be changed other than legislation.
It's being changed in newspaper articles.
Okay, thank you.
All right? And I think Mrs. Swan was the one where I read it. I can certainly find it.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
The Act also says that a master plan should be adopted within 18 months of the first meeting of the Highlands Council. That was not done. The Act also says that a TDR program should be put in place within 18 months of the first meeting of the Highlands Council, regardless as to the status of the master plan. That was not done. This is now 6 years, not 18 months. Okay, as far as the Highlands Council staff is concerned, I can see three people right here. Salaries frozen as they may be, they are frozen at a six-figure level. Six figures. I'd like to have my salary frozen at six figures. Also, I brought up in the last meeting the fact that the Department of Environmental Protection was asked by Warren County, who was initiating a lawsuit at that time, how many housing units could be built in the preservation area. The number they came up with is, and it's found on page 217 of the DEP's responses to the comments on the Highlands Act. 215,421 units in the preservation area that could be built. Now we have another wacky number from the Highlands Council, which diminishes this number to essentially 6,200. It seems that when you want to justify the Act, by allowing another 600,000+ people to live in the preservation area, as would be indicated by 215,000 units, you come up with one number. And when you want to come up with a number that you want to use to pay for it, you diminish that number. It begs the question in my mind, was DEP lying to me then, or are you lying to me now? And they are not mutually exclusive. I think you're both lying to me. This number needs to be justified. Mr. Cogger, again, brings up steep slopes. There's a steep slope. It's been there for years. I can show you the Malfi Coast. This is what happens to be in Mexico. I can show you how they build the Alps. All land is buildable. They're contemplating building a 7-mile tunnel under the Hudson River. And if they do, I want some of that fill. Okay, I got low spots. I can fill it up very easily. The idea that this land is so precious and cannot be built on is a convenient myth. And the justification for the myth is to the benefit of the public. The public is nothing more than a convenient abstraction that is dusted off by attorneys like Borden when it is convenient to do so. If it is to the benefit of the public, I ask again, where is the public checkbook? Am I boring you, Mr. Schreier?
Always.
Good. Let me wait a few minutes. I'll let you nod off. Also, I'm going to distribute this to each one of you. I'm done with my comments, but I'm going to pass these out to people here. That's my public comments for today.
Should I
get in the coffee and
should I get
those things? Well, no, I think
I'll do it. Anyone else have to comment? For the next speaker to come up. I noticed in this meeting, the public is free to say whatever the public wants to say. But we try to keep these meetings at a level of common courtesy that I think is being abused here. By referring to people without their title, just their last name, that's a way of dissing people, and I personally don't like it. If you want to continue to do that, of course you're free to do that, but I don't think that's courteous at all.
Deborah Post, Chester Township. Regarding your comment, I think the Highlands Act staff is an extreme disservice, as disrespectful as possible. 17 lost lots, 5 need a lot of anger and a lot of fright to say whatever I want about the people that made that happen.
I don't disagree with that. I feel
fine. It is not courteous to steal my land, sir. I am courteous to those who are courteous in return to me. I have been shown no courtesy by this council or its staff for 6 years. I had intended to finish the comments that I truncated earlier as you were looking impatient, Mr. Chairman. And I have also some additional comments responding to some of the comments that we just heard. I'd like to start. I find the distortions, the misleading, and the downright lies very upsetting. Ms. Swan was referring to my farm earlier when she tried to make the point that you could have a farm preserve that wasn't in the ARA. I believe Ms. Swan knows very well that preserving a farm was not what I was referring to when I said I was being denied equal protection with farmers. That's number one. Number two, the Farmland Preservation Program does not look to the Highlands Regional Master Plan or the ARA. My farm is designated as part of the agricultural target area in my county's master plan. The County Ag Development Board look to their county's land use maps and land use targets and land use designations in their determination of what farm will be preserved or not preserved. It has nothing to do with the ARA. And to suggest otherwise is to suggest that this regional master plan is what the FADC is using in its determination of farms to be preserved. And that's just, unfortunately, not true. The real value of being in the ARA, what I was referring to of equal protection, is farms in the ARA have cluster rights. Cluster rights have value, real monetary value. Farms not in the ARA are denied that real monetary value of farms that are included in the arbitrarily determined agricultural resource area of the regional master plan. That was my point, and to twist my point otherwise is truly inappropriate. I'd also like to comment on if he Councilman Cogger or Mayor Cogger, Mr. Schreier, how would you like me to refer to him?
How would you like
to
refer?
Cogger. Regarding his discussion of Chester's environmental history. First, regarding Mayor Caro's laying of the environmental groundwork for Chester. Mayor Caro initiated a major downzoning around the millennium for Chester Township, a downzoning that cost many property owners, myself included, much buildable value. Interestingly, the highly environmentally sensitive Pleasant Hill Road, where Mayor Caro owned land, and where then-Councilman Mr. Cogger's family owned land, was not included in the downzoning. The only section of Chester that wasn't downzoned. Regarding Mayor Spinelli's $55 million land acquisition campaign, also noted by Mayor Cogger, I have a personal and devastating story. Mayor Spinelli wanted my farm too. When I politely told him our family did not want his government in our barn, but thank you anyway, Spinelli embarked on a program of harassment, including the denial of my FA1 farmland assessment application, claiming that we had no devotion to agriculture despite the fact that my farm has been farmland assessed since the initiation of farmland assessment, I believe, back in 1976, or was it 86? And also the catalyzation of a criminal neglect suit filed against myself and my Alzheimer's patient father. Mayor Spinelli thought he could run me out of my hometown and acquire my property. Trust me, Chester's so-called history of grand environmentalism has a very ugly underbelly. I have attempted to resolve my own personal Highlands taking through a farmland preservation application and a minor subdivision for which the cooperative new DEP has issued HAD for two buildable lots. The Chester Township has thwarted my plan by refusing to approve the subdivision plan reasonably. I proposed to preserve 56 acres and presented this preservation as obvious and reasonable mitigation plan. I am here asking this council whether they consider 56 acres of preserved farmland an appropriate mitigation plan for losing 2 acres to 2 houses. But Chester Township refused to accept the preservation of 56 acres as mitigation for the development of 2 acres. Insisting on a major development stormwater system that de facto eliminates the value in the plan concept negotiated with the DEP. Chester also wants a duplicative easement plan over the DEP easement. Cutting to the core, Chester has an $80,000 plus a year zoning director whose job the Highlands Act has rendered moot. So to keep Chester's taxes nice and high, Chester is seeking new responsibilities for their underutilized personnel. Chester's mayor is not on the tax roll, so he doesn't really care about high taxes. Chester's easement will allow the zoning director to snoop in private backyards with impunity. Is this what this council had in mind with its conformance process? Regarding Mayor Cogger's comment about professional evaluators, I think he meant appraisers. The Garden State Preservation Trust statute requires that an appraiser be a member of a recognized appraisal organization. The appraiser retained to value my land is not a member of a recognized appraisal organization, nor does he even have a college degree. We are allowing people without college degrees to determine the net worth and lifeblood of our farmers. That's how little respect we have for the Farmland Preservation Program. This unqualified individual determined that the aftermarket value of my property was $39,000 an acre. Aftermarket value, that's the value of a farmland deed-restricted acre that can be only used for farmland in Chester Township. Is $39,000 an acre for ag land? This is prima facie ridiculous. And it highlights the corruption and lack of qualifications in this so-called professional evaluator process. These appraisers work for the state. They work for the ag board. That's where they're bread buttered and they know it. They know what answer they want to hear. And what's so interesting about the appraisal on my property is that the appraisal came in at half what this council's professional appraisers determined the value of my land. The Highlands Act actually allows farms in the preservation area to utilize the municipal averages as determined by the financial advisors for the TBR bank. If you're in ascending zone, my property is in ascending zone, and I am eligible to use this council's TBR municipal averages for the valuation of my farm, which would give me a number of twice what the so-called professional appraiser without a college degree determined. Yet I have requested this and been denied. I have been denied the Highlands Act statute's allowance to allow me to use the numbers of this council to preserve my farm. Mayor Cogger said earlier that, well, maybe it's just not worth what they think it's worth. Well, is it worth what somebody without a bachelor's degree and that's not a member of an appraisal institute says it's worth? Or is it worth what your council's financial advisors said it's worth? Let's have a little bit of integrity in this process. Chester's planner, Mr. Ritter, has paid a healthy five-figure fee for his hours spent copying this council's handouts and integrating them into Chester's land use law. Yet Chester demands that I personally pay Mr. Ritter $5,000 for his efforts in thwarting my attempts to resolve the Highlands Act taking of my property. So I am today asking this council for a grant to pay for Mr. Ritter's bills charged to my escrow account as part of my Highlands Act taking resolution. Chester's mayor believes the Highlands Act victims have not been bled enough, and who better to keep planners at full employment than a Highlands Farms landowner? Unconscionable bleeding of landowners is what the Highlands Act is and always has been all about.
You know, excuse me.
I think it's, you know, it's probably a waste of time to talk to you folks. I mean, we started this in 2005, you know? And nothing's come from it. I took time off from work for, you know, first off, my land rights were taken, which took away most of my retirement money. So I keep on working. So I come up here and took every Thursday when you have a meeting, I come and I would let my work go and come up here and talk to you folks, hoping to get some help. In fact, my first time I came, I asked for help. Well, I didn't get any. And I'll go talk to one of these preservation associations. I think it was Laura Schwach who was in the back room or something. Which didn't turn out to be anything. So anyway, we even, a group of us, filed a lawsuit hoping to, you know, overturn this outrageous, ridiculous act that takes our rights away, which is totally unconstitutional. And of course, when it went before the liberal state courts, they all turned us down. And then what was presented to the Supreme Court, they refused to hear it because they didn't want to do anything in the face of the state courts, I guess. I don't know. But, and then more recently, you know, I couldn't make it to a lot of the meetings because I was out, you know, trying to earn some money to keep things going. I mean, you know, I'm going to be 75 years old in a couple of weeks. Still working. And, you know, you've got state people, they used to be retiring at 55 years of age. But just these big salaries, you know, big pensions that go on forever and stuff, well, you know. I don't know, I think they might have raised about 60 years old or something now, but, you know, it's, we had presented a plan to the Township of Chester. We originally started thinking about this in 2002, and I think it was March 2003 when we actually went before one of the Township Planning Committees for the conceptual plan. And it just went on. We paid many thousands of dollars for engineering fees, escrow fees for the town engineer, as Deborah Post just said about the township planner had fees to review our plan. And then we're scheduled for a meeting in May of 2004, which got postponed to June 14th, 2004. I think it turned out to be 3 days after the Senate passed the Pinkett bill. So, and which was made retroactive to March 29th of that year. And it took a lot of our equity. And, you know, if you went out and you went to a bank and you stole, say, $1 million from them or something, you'd be in jail, wouldn't you? I mean, how is this right? If these folks wanted to do something really good, you could just all resign and go home. You know? We'd all be better off.
The trick to the chair is to sit on it first and then twirl it. Julia Thomas, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. It's great to hear that Hillsburg and Alpha are coming in. I have a request, though. Centered, and I don't know if this is possible, but as the council moves forward, where a community comes in looking for a center designation as part of its application for conformance. If there could be an element of looking to see if there's potential for a CDR receiving area in that center, that would be an extremely sensible thing to do. That's number one. Number two, what great mapping. It tells a fabulous story. If I was the computer, I'd be groaning too. This is just amazing stuff, and I think you should require municipal officials to come in and see what can be done to, and created for their town. It's just leaps forward from where we have come from. There was talk about forest stewardship and trying to resolve differences, perhaps whether it's just in language or maybe crew differences between forest stewardship planning. If you were to do that, the New Jersey Highlands Coalition and the New Jersey Conservation Foundation, I know have certain the Conservation Foundation as well, has spent a lot of time working on forest stewardship issues. If you set up a meeting and include outside parties, please include the Coalition and the Conservation Foundation. There was discussion earlier about exemptions 1 and 2, and as particularly exemptions 1 and 2, probably more than just 1 and 2, as towns conform, it makes a tremendous amount of sense for management of exemptions to either come to the council or go to the municipalities. But I have to tell you, don't expect the DEP to be thinking of that. They're talking about one-stop shopping in Trenton. I don't know that this council and municipalities is where this work is going to be going. And I think that the council needs to remain extremely alert to whatever kind of memorandum of understanding, which, by the way, the commissioner at the ANZAC Congress last Friday told me was well underway, but when between the Highlands Council and the DEP. But when pressed for further details, he couldn't give it to me. But he seems to think that there is a memorandum of understanding coming between the council and the DEP. There is a tremendous amount of work that should be done only here at the council and not at the DEP in the interest of one-stop shopping, and I think that you should be pushing for that very hard. Last week, there was a press release sent out by one of the conservation organizations, the New Jersey Conservation Foundation, which has been working with the family that owns the Hillendale Farm in Tewksbury on Hillendale Road. It's over 300 acres of farm. It's large. It's a large, probably one of the largest farms anywhere in the Highlands, and it is entirely in the preservation area. The press release is about the fact that the family has agreed to sell the farm, and the average price per acre is just a couple of dollars underneath $40,000 an acre. I think that's a lot of money. Maybe some don't. But I think that's a lot of money. And it's certainly more than it's post that value. So, you know, the two appraisal route is working. But I think that farmers should be pleased to know about this. It's a tremendous vote of support for agriculture in the Highlands and it reflects the fact that there isn't a tremendous loss of value in the preservation area. I was just reminded this morning that the Highlands Council staff are not thanked often enough. They do work extremely hard, and I think that they deserve to be praised repeatedly. Their hearts are in this, and I know you as a council recognize that, and I'm sure behind the scenes that you thank them all the time. But as a member of the public, I want to thank them as well. So thank you.
I want to take my turn. This is what it's all about, guys. And I'll tell you so much.
Hank Klump, I'm a farmer in Tewksbury. And one of the things in Tewksbury, originally on this Highlands Act, when it was coming through, Tewksbury was not in it originally. Politically, we were put in. So you can see the devastation that it's had on our family and everything else. But if you just sit back and listen to the people that are talking here today, the people are hurting. And you people on the council, I don't know how to say this, but I think what Andy Dryfield said was that if you people on the council were in our shoes, it would be a different story. And I'm not going to believe you, but I was wondering how you made out on my request to find that $50 billion to, but it's another month, so I won't say another word, so God bless you all. But that's what it's all about, people.
Thank you. Any other, keep your hands up. Close the public portion. We have no executive session. Relative to what Mr. Compass is saying, or what Mr. Drysdale is saying, I don't think anyone here knows that Mr. Drysdale and I had a conversation a number of years ago. We were sitting here with your wife, Lois. And I think I said to you that if I were in your shoes, I would probably feel pretty much the way that you do. So, you are not addressing an unsympathetic council here. I don't think that has ever been the case. I think the council has always been concerned, particularly about landowner equity, or what we're calling landlord, and the provisions in the Act that to many seem not to have provided a vehicle for that funding. We are human beings as well as you are. We work. We have land. We're unpaid. There was some remark made some time ago about the great compensation that Highlands Council members have. That's not true. We don't get paid a dime for this work. Some of us, myself included, do it because I believe in the cause of preservation of land. I have been involved in this particular cause of the Highlands since 1999, one of my first initiatives as a freeholder in Morris County was to introduce a resolution to the Freeholder Board endorsing the idea designating the New Jersey Highlands as a region of special significance. And we hosted State Planning Commission meeting in Morris County where that issue was addressed. It was successfully addressed ultimately. Highlands is an area of special resource value. So my simple point is you are addressing a sympathetic audience. This is not an easy issue to contend with. No one, as I have learned in 20 years of political and government activity, can please all the people all the time. And I think somebody else said that about 100 years before me, but you do the things that you think are best, and you do the things that you think are as right as you can get them, and they don't always turn out the way that everyone wants them to turn out. But important issues must take precedence. And while I'm not the paradigm on these issues, I'm not always right, God knows that. But I do think that what work we have been doing up here is good work, and is going to be, as Eileen Swan has said to me recently, looked back upon as something very, very critical. And I remind everyone that preservation of the New Jersey Highlands region was endorsed in 1906, for the very first time. It took 100 years to get to the preservation point where the legislators and the administration in Trenton believed that it was the right thing to finally do. In that interim, a lot of land had been lost to preservation. But we are not too late, and we are saving what we need to save now. And I just wanted to make that apocryphal comment for your consideration. And I do thank the staff. We all do thank the staff for a little bit of work. We thank them every day. I want to entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I wanted to just respond more fully to Kurt's question earlier, and I apologize if I wasn't clear enough. I didn't actually know specifically what you were asking, and Tom did refer to cluster components. But just to be clear, it's actually mandatory in the ARA, but it's discretionary elsewhere. So it can occur, but in all cases, it's going to be the amount of development capacity will be determined by the nitrate solution model. So I just want to be very clear on that, and I certainly wasn't debating, so I hope you don't think I was debating the
question. Only in the same year.
Will
be performed in the same year or preservation area?
Well, the preservation area rules will determine the development capacity in the preservation area.
Since Ms. Post made some comments regarding form of council versus for them, I would like those comments forward to Mr. Chappelle out of the record so that he is aware of those comments.
Well, we think, with your permission, what we'd like to do is find points in the recording where they are and alert them so that you can go online and hear it. So that would say that Annette's been trying to transcribe.
I just think you owe us the, as a courtesy, we owe that.
Certainly, I'll do that. So.
I would wonder whether that should be done after the minutes have been approved by the council.
The recording is placed online. Yes, and pretty much the day after the meeting is when we try to get it up. So then what we can do is just fast forward to that point in time, let Mr. Snelly know what that's where the comments are made and then he can make.
I'll look into that though, about whether we can do that. And we just told you what the question was. At the current real time, but I'm not sure that my own personal history of the minutes has been that they are in fact as long as they are.
Yes, the minutes are not final until the governor's office. The recording is put up online for matter of public record.
Okay.
Just a quick comment on next year's schedule, October 21st. Can you make that a 1 o'clock or a 4 o'clock start rather than a 10?
We'll take a note of that and we'll bring it back to you. In generally speaking, when the chair does the agenda, it's the December meeting, but if you wanted to move that up to the November meeting to discuss the schedule for next year, and we'll make a note of that and bring it to you.
This document that we have is 2010.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my apologies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Turning from the chair. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. Annette felt it was necessary to put that in the packet because of the change of the November meeting, which the chair drew your attention to.
Well, for now, I'm proactive.
We have duly taken note, and we will make sure that it's brought to the attention of the.
No, I said we're ahead of the curve again.
Yeah.
Bring your crossing early, too. Any other comments? Motion to adjourn?
Hello.
Well adjourned. Thank you.